Om Agnati Vinandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarne. I believe this class goes to 11:30, is that right? Okay. Thank you all for coming today. Of course, as we know, is the auspicious disappearance day of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. The founder Acharya of the Gaudiya Math and the spiritual master of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Generally on appearance and disappearance days, the devotees tell the same stories that we've heard for the last 50 years, which is always nice because if we heard any of the stories as they actually are, we'd be there. There's no harm in telling stories again and again, transcendental stories. But generally speaking, on appearance and disappearance days, Prabhupada didn't, or even the festival days, Srila Prabhupada rarely got into telling pastimes. And the only time, one time I was with Srila Prabhupada in 1969 in Boston, and they didn't even bother recording that lecture for some reason. And the whole lecture was one pastime after another. In any case, pastime of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Now, Srila Prabhupada, is our founder, acharya of our society. So then the question is, what would be the importance of hearing about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada? He was famous, okay, only one class. You can't talk during class. He had 60 centers in India, and he sent devotees overseas to England, who went to Germany, in order to spread Krishna consciousness. And I believe he had something like 60,000 initiated disciples. But at the same time, if anyone has ever read any of his Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's books in English, one will find that it's not so easy, even if your first language is English, to understand what he was talking about. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was mainly preaching, if not entirely preaching, in India at a time when they were under the British subjugation. At that time, the idea was that the British were there in India because the Indians were more or less backward, didn't have a civilization, and needed to be civilized by the British. Of course, when Gandhi went to England to try to have some kind of peaceful settlement with the British, when he was asked by the British news reporters, "What do you think of British civilization?" And his response was, "I think it would be a good idea." Tit for tat. In any case, most of the Indians, even at that time, of course I didn't do a survey, but I heard that many, if not most of the Indians at that time, actually believed that English civilization, whatever it might have been, was actually superior to Indian civilization. That's, in other words, if you hear enough fake news after a time, you think it's real news. And besides the fact that the glory of the Indian civilization, namely the Vedic literature, was more or less covered. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he tried to find a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengal. He tried to find it, and he had a hard time doing it. Now you can have an easy time doing it, even in Dallas, Texas. Even you're walking down the street, might even get a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the full set. So that's the difference. And therefore, generally speaking, people didn't understand, the Indians at that time didn't understand the glory of their culture and what to speak of the English. They actually thought they were superior. I don't know what basis. I guess they had, generally modern civilizations think themselves superior, especially if they have a more powerful military. And therefore, anyone who doesn't agree that they're superior has a hard time in life, which makes them feel superior, those who are giving them the hard time. But with this idea in mind, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he had a vision of eventually introducing Krishna consciousness all around the world. But first he had to establish it within India in such a way that it would be considered a substantial society. Now in India there are so many societies, and most of the societies are, although they may be prominent, even nowadays we can see most of them are what we'd call impersonalist or Mayavadi. Although Indians by nature are attracted to spirituality, but after the advent of Buddha, after the advent of Sankaracharya, there is a tendency even amongst what would be considered normally Vaishnav communities to even be impersonalists, or what to speak of Mayavadis, or Sahajiyas. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada worked with what he had available in India, and indeed, many of them were highly acclaimed scholars in India, very educated persons, very cultured persons that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada attracted. But even that wouldn't be sufficient to attract the English people, because the English people, they thought whoever might be, whatever the position of an Indian within India, they cannot compare it to the position of an Englishman. And therefore, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wrote his books in English, he wrote them in such a way as that practically no one could read them. Especially English people, because they're full with so many words that even an ordinary Englishman wouldn't understand. Even if you get out a dictionary, it's not so easy with even a dictionary to understand what he was writing. So undoubtedly, it's not that he didn't know the philosophy or he wanted to make it complicated, but he wanted to establish the credibility of Krishna consciousness amongst the English-speaking people. And even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote one book called, I think it was called Krishna something, Krishna Samhita. And in it, he actually explains our philosophy in English to the English people in a way that they probably would accept, but we wouldn't accept. That is, he seemed to have changed the philosophy in order to present it to an audience which was very skeptical about the Indian philosophy, thinking that it was mostly mythological or backward, etc. So in that particular book, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented Krishna consciousness in a way that satisfied the basic philosophical ideas of the English people, and at the same time, the most prominent part of our philosophy, namely to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is what the actual point of the book is. Now, our Srila Prabhupada also dealt with such issues First of all, he made the books understandable so that, practically speaking, any English reader, or even when it's translated, could understand our philosophy. And ultimately, our philosophy is not so complicated. It's not complicated to understand. It's just difficult to realize. Anyone who sits after comes to the temple for a few lectures more or less gets the basic principles of our philosophy and thinks he's understood everything. Although Lord Brahma was amazed when he saw Krishna expand himself into unlimited Vishnu forms, he said that in the future, the scientists, they may be able to count the number of atoms in the universe, but I don't think they'll be able to understand the qualities that Krishna has. In any case, Krishna consciousness, ultimately the philosophy, is not difficult, that we're not a material body, we're a spirit soul, Krishna is actually God, he's all attractive, etc., etc. But to actually realize it, it's not so easy because we tend to get distracted by so many other things. So the trick is how to take a distracted mind and give it an opportunity to see things in relationship to Krishna. So Prabhupada had to deal with that also, because in the Western world, people are generally distracted by sex desire and by science. By science which justifies economic development simply for sense gratification. That's called science. And in India, they're distracted by something similar, but they want wealth, just economic development to get the mercy of the demigods. And in personalism, if you don't like the demigods, you don't like economics, then merge, become God. That's even better. Get your own kingdom in the spiritual world. But Prabhupada had to deal with that, and therefore he came up. He had to deal with like the moon landings and other such topics. And he dealt with it in such a way as to give different information at different times to try to satisfy different audiences who might be hearing it. And at the end of the day, if you add it all up, everything Prabhupada said, for instance, about the moon landing or science, you'd think that Prabhupada was changing his mind all the time. Just like we might imagine that Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura was changing his mind on the philosophy, or that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada had a different philosophy to present to the English people than he did to the Indian people in different languages. But ultimately, all this philosophy, all these varieties of detail, all wind up with trying to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we should utilize whatever resources we have in his service. So this is the legacy that our acharyas are giving to us. And it's... We honor our acharyas on their days because our acharyas didn't leave. It's not that they left and therefore a new acharya had to appear in order to take their place. Our acharyas, just like we live forever, just like Krishna lives forever, so our acharyas also live forever. They may go beyond our sight, just like the sun rises in the morning and within our sight, within the day, it's within our sight. And then at the end of the day, it seems to have disappeared. The Aborigines used to think, now the sun is dead. Just like when we leave our body, some people might think that we're also dead. But actually, we're not dead. We've simply gone to some other place. As the sun is not dead, and is not born again in the morning, but has simply gone beyond our sight. So when we leave our body, we're simply beyond the present people living in this particular place, beyond their sight, and we go to someone else's sight. We call that, in the material world, if we go take another birth, then everyone's very happy, or at least some people are happy, that we're born. And we call it happy birthday. And when we leave our body, we call that death, to go to some other birthplace, and we call that death, and people are unhappy. It would be very impolite to chant, "Happy Death Day to you." Because, generally speaking, it's not supposed to be a happy day when you're dying. And when you take birth, people don't chant, "Unhappy birthday to you." No. So, similarly, our acharyas appear to our sight, and when they disappear, it's not that they're not there anymore. They're equally accessible or more accessible, even when they're beyond our present vision. Just as Krishna's here, someone may think that they're statues, someone may think so many other things, someone may look at them and say, "Oh, they look very nice." And they're looking at us and they're looking and thinking, when are they going to wake up? We may think they look almost alive. And Krishna's thinking, "Well, I hope these people become alive sometime or other. Wake up out of sleeping." When we're meditating on our present acharya or our present, those who we take shelter of, the idea is they don't stand by themselves. No one stands by themselves in this world. And our connection with Krishna doesn't stand by itself. Even through our present devotees, first of all, we sometimes don't even recognize the present devotees who are actually connecting us to the Supa succession. But those who are giving us instruction are actually representatives of Krishna coming into Supa succession. We may think, well, this is a American, this is an Indian, this is a male or female, but actually this is Krishna's spiritual energy approaching us when someone is either acting in Krishna consciousness or giving us instructions in Krishna consciousness. It's actually Krishna manifesting himself before us to help us make spiritual advancement. And they don't stand alone. They only can do so because they've heard from a representative of Krishna, and they're repeating it according to their level of realization. Therefore, when we're actually hearing knowledge, when it becomes realized, then that knowledge will not be devoid or apart from the fact that it's being given to us by a certain devotee who has heard from a certain devotee was actually connecting us with this simple succession of acharyas. So when we're hearing, for instance, from Srila Prabhupada, it is not that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada is not there. Actually, all the acharyas are there with Prabhupada. And when we become connected with our Srila Prabhupada, we'll also connect to Krishna, not directly through Srila Prabhupada, but through our chain, our line of disciple succession. We don't connect directly to either to Krishna, even through our one acharya. We connect through all the acharyas who are giving us Krishna. Therefore, meditating on Srila Prabhupada means to also meditate upon Srila Prabhupada, meditating upon his spiritual master as an instrument for his spiritual master, and his spiritual master being an instrument for his spiritual master, and the time, and part of that will be the realization of the absolute nature of every acharya, how they perfectly at every moment presented Krishna consciousness according to time, place, and exact audience. And when we do that, then Krishna will also give us, we'll be able to enter into the realm of spiritual understanding, where our every motion, our every activity, our every word will be exactly appropriate to the time, place, and circumstance to help them, or he or she, or even other species of life, make progress in their particular relationship with Krishna and make progress towards the perfection of life. So although we may hear, for instance, we may tell pastimes about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, and indeed the idea behind that is generally to get some essential quality of what the acharya is, either renunciation or knowledge or his fidelity to the previous acharyas, etc., etc., so that we can try to emulate them and follow in their footsteps. But for us, following their footsteps means to surrender to our present acharya. And by surrendering to our present acharya, then we'll actually most empowered to understand the wonder of the previous acharyas. By understanding the wonder of our present acharya and taking shelter of his instructions so that we can perfectly serve him and his representatives in this world. The expertise of an acharya is that they also teach us how to be able to perceive how other of their representatives are guiding us to Krishna consciousness, so we can take the essence of what they're doing, the appreciation of what they're doing, the instructions of what they're doing, and actually serve the present acharyas in the best possible way, in perfect Krishna consciousness. But if we go through the present Krishna consciousness movement and the representatives of the present Krishna consciousness movement and learn how to serve them perfectly in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with them, that's the best way we can understand the exalted qualities of our historical acharyas. And indeed, without taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, we can actually perfectly serve our Prabhupada's present representatives. And even if our present representatives are on the same level as Srila Prabhupada, still they're repeating the message that Srila Prabhupada gave us and the example that Srila Prabhupada gave us. So they should most easily help us remember Srila Prabhupada and connect with our previous acharyas. By their every activity, by their every word, by their every thought, they should be most evidently displaying the exalted nature of Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas, and be able to connect us with every devotee within our society and serve them in the most expertly loving way to help everyone make advancement towards their relationship with Krishna. So, we honor Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada today as the grandfather guru of spiritual master of those who have taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, or as a param guru, a lion in our parampara guru. But if we develop the vision by service to Srila Prabhupada and his present representatives under Srila Prabhupada's instructions, his guidance, and their guidance also, because sometimes we may not remember or may not perceive that the present representatives of Srila Prabhupada are actually empowered by Srila Prabhupada, empowered by our disciple succession, ultimately empowered by Krishna to help us become Krishna conscious. But if we serve them, the present representatives, then the time will come when we'll be connected to all our entire parampara, and ultimately through them we'll be able to perceive Krishna consciousness everywhere through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and enter into that mood of separation that they're giving us of Krishna and Vrindavan, and be able to serve Krishna perfectly and spread Krishna consciousness as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted in this world while we're presently in this body, and qualify ourselves to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna in their pastimes after leaving this present material existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Well, this is the process of becoming self-realized, that we're all in the process. And luckily we only have one philosophy, and it's manifested in the most amazing ways. And if we can take shelter that, understand or try to understand that one philosophy, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all his different ramifications, then everything else will be revealed to us. Right. Thank you very much. Grantaraj. Oh, there's no Grantaraj. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mahautsava Tirabhava Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribo.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.